All right, ready to dive deep into the science of sleep?
Let's do it.
Today, it's all about getting that sleep that really, truly recharges you. Not tired, but like, wow, I'm ready for anything. We've got this stack of articles, and honestly, I was blown away by some of what I learned prepping for this.
It is fascinating, isn't it? Like, we spend a third of our lives doing it, but there's still so much we're discovering about sleep.
Totally. And you know how sometimes you're just dragging, can't focus, not feeling like yourself?
Yeah.
Well, these articles make a pretty strong case that a lot of that could be tied to not getting enough deep, restful sleep, like the good stuff.
Right. It's about quality over quantity. It's not just about hitting a certain number of hours.
Okay, so then let's break it down. What exactly is deep sleep? It can't just be the brain going offline, right?
Think of it more like your brain switching gears. We're talking about slow wave sleep. Your brain waves slow down, muscles totally relax, heart rate drops.
Ah, so it's like your body can finally do some serious repair work.
Exactly. This is where memories get consolidated, hormones get balanced, and some sources even suggest that your brain flushes out toxins during this time.
Wait, hold up. Brain detox. While we sleep. Tell me more about that.
Yeah. It's a relatively recent discovery called the glymphatic system. Basically, think of it like a brainwashing cycle that happens while you sleep. And this cleaning process might be linked to preventing cognitive decline and even boosting creativity, which is pretty wild.
Okay, so we're talking way more than just feeling rested here. This is essential stuff. And the articles go beyond just those basic benefits, right?
Absolutely. They dive into how deep sleep affects everything from our physical health to our emotional well-being, even our relationships.
Okay, so weight, for example. I've heard good sleep helps with weight management, but why is that?
It's all about hormones. During deep sleep, your body regulates hormones like leptin and ghrelin. These hormones basically control your appetite and how your body uses energy.
So if you don't get enough sleep,
those hormones can go out of whack. You might feel hungrier, have more cravings, and your metabolism might slow down, making it harder to manage your weight.
Wow. So sleep deprivation is basically sabotaging our metabolism.
Pretty much. And it's not just about the number on the scale. Deep sleep also helps strengthen your immune system.
Wait, really? Like giving my immune system a power nap?
Yeah. It allows your immune cells to recharge and stay strong, ready to fight off those bugs. And research also shows a link between not getting enough sleep and a higher risk of serious conditions like heart disease and diabetes.
Okay, good sleep is sounding less optional and more like a must-have at this point. But we're not even done with the benefits, right? There are mental and emotional perks, too.
Absolutely. Deep sleep is key for processing emotions and regulating those stress hormones. It's like hitting the reset button.
So you wake up feeling calmer and more balanced?
Exactly. Ready to handle whatever the day throws at you. It helps you cope with stress, navigate tough situations, bounce back from setbacks. Even strengthens the parts of your brain responsible for empathy and communication.
Whoa, so sleep improves our relationships. That's a game changer. What about the mental stuff? Does good sleep actually make us sharper and more creative?
It does. Deep sleep is crucial for memory, focus, and even creative problem solving. It's like an overnight upgrade for your brain power. Those slow brain waves we talked about. They help move information from short-term to long-term memory.
So if I pull an all-nighter cramming for a test,
you're actually making it harder for your brain to absorb the information.
Oof, that's good to know.
And the benefits go beyond just academics. Deep sleep makes you mentally quicker and more adaptable.
Okay, so good sleep equals a more agile mind. I like that. But let's get practical here. How much sleep do we actually need to get all these benefits?
Well, you always hear that classic 7-8 hours for adults.
Right.
But it's not that simple. Everyone's different. Your age, lifestyle, even your genes can affect how much sleep you need.
So it's not a magic number. It's about figuring out what works best for you.
Exactly. Pay attention to how you feel after different amounts of sleep. Do you wake up feeling refreshed and ready to go? That's a good sign. But if you're dragging and sluggish, I need to experiment a bit.
It's like we're sleep detectives. Gotta find the clues. Now, these articles don't just tell us why deep sleep is important. They give some great tips for actually getting it, too, right?
Oh, yeah. Tons of practical advice. And one of the simplest but most important strategies is a consistent sleep schedule.
Okay, so going to bed and waking up around the same time each day, even on weekends. I've heard that before, but why is it so important?
Consistency helps regulate your body's natural sleep-wake cycle, what's called your circadian rhythm. Think of it as your internal clock that controls all sorts of bodily functions.
So by sticking to a consistent sleep schedule, we're keeping our internal clock running smoothly.
Exactly. And that helps you get enough of those deep sleep cycles we're talking about.
All right. Consistency noted. What about the sleep environment itself? A comfy bed makes a big difference.
It does. And it's not just about the mattress and pillows. Temperature matters too. A cool bedroom, around 65 degrees, is ideal.
Interesting. I always thought being warm and cozy was best for sleep.
It might help you feel sleepy at first, but your body temperature naturally drops when you fall asleep, so a cool room helps with that.
Gotcha. What about light and noise? Those can be tough, especially in a busy city.
Minimizing both is crucial. Light, especially blue light from electronics, messes with your melatonin production.
Melatonin being that sleep hormone.
Exactly. Invest in blackout curtains or an eye mask to block out light, for maybe earplugs or a white noise machine for sound.
So basically, make your bedroom a sleep sanctuary. Dark, quiet, and cool.
Got it. Now, it's not just about bedtime routines, right? Do our daytime habits affect sleep quality too?
Absolutely. These articles talk a lot about the importance of regular exercise, but the timing matters.
So morning workouts are better than evening ones.
Exactly. Get that energy pumping early in the day. And speaking of energy, let's talk caffeine. That afternoon coffee might help you power through, but uh-oh, I'm sensing a butt coming.
Can mess with your sleep if you have it too late in the day.
Yeah, guilty as charged. I love my afternoon coffee.
Caffeine stays in your system for hours, so it can make it harder to fall asleep and reach those deep sleep stages. Mm-hmm. And actually, alcohol can disrupt your sleep too.
Really? I always thought a nightcap helped you sleep.
It might make you drowsy at first, but it can actually fragment your sleep, leading to lighter sleep and more waking up during the night.
Okay, good to know. So maybe swap that glass of wine or late night coffee for some herbal tea instead.
Exactly. And another daytime habit that makes a big difference is getting enough natural light.
You mean just getting some sunshine?
Yep. Sunlight helps regulate your circadian rhythm, that internal clock we talked about. Makes you more alert during the day and promotes sleepiness at night.
Huh. So we really are meant to get some sun. Now let's talk about pre-sleep routines. The articles mention winding down before bed, right?
Oh yeah, that's key. A relaxing bedtime routine can make a huge difference. Things like a warm bath, reading a book, listening to calming music, or doing some deep breathing exercises.
So it's about consciously shifting gears, telling our brains it's time to chill out. But let's be real, for a lot of us, the last thing we do before bed is scroll on our phones. How bad is that, really?
Yeah, as tempting as it is, that blue light from screens can really mess with your sleep. It suppresses melatonin production, so it takes longer to fall asleep, and your sleep-wake cycle gets disrupted.
Okay, I know I should disconnect an hour before bed, but it's hard.
Yes, but even small changes can help. Try dimming your screen in the evening, or using night mode, or even blue light blocking glasses. And try to put the phone away at least 30 minutes before bed and do something relaxing instead.
All right, challenge accepted. Any other tips for once we're actually in bed?
Make sure it's a comfortable environment. Good mattress, supportive pillows, maybe a white noise machine or earplugs if you need them. And keep that room cool and dark, like we talked about.
So it's about building that sleep sanctuary?
Exactly. And try to avoid clock watching. Staring at the clock when you can't sleep just makes things worse.
Ugh, that's me all over. I get fixated on how much sleep I'm missing.
It's so common. But it just adds to the stress. If you can, turn that clock away or cover it up.
Out of sight, out of mind. Smart. What about those worries that pop up the second your head hits the pillow?
Oh, that's a tough one. Try worry journaling. Spend some time earlier in the evening writing down your worries or to-dos. Get them out of your head and onto paper so they're not swirling around when you're trying to sleep.
Ooh, I like that. It's like scheduling worry time so it doesn't bleed into sleep time. Speaking of things that mess with sleep, let's talk stress.
Yeah, stress and sleep definitely have a complicated relationship. Chronic stress can make it harder to fall asleep, make you wake up more, even reduce the amount of deep sleep you get.
So it's not just about winding down before bed, it's about managing stress all day long.
Exactly. And for some people, managing stress can be just as effective as medication for improving sleep quality.
Wow, that's incredible. So what are some of the best ways to de-stress? I'm guessing exercise is up there.
Exercise is key for sure. Helps regulate those stress hormones, reduces anxiety, and promotes deeper sleep. But it's not the only way. Spending time in nature, practicing mindfulness, doing things you enjoy.
Don't forget about social connections.
Oh, absolutely. Strong social connections can buffer you from stress and just make you feel good. which leads to better sleep.
So it's all connected, right? Our physical health, mental well-being, our relationships, our sleep.
Exactly. It's all about taking a holistic approach to sleep. There's no quick fix, but by making these changes, you create a foundation for deeper, more restful sleep.
Well said. I feel so much more empowered to make sleep a priority now. Any other words of wisdom before we wrap up part one?
The biggest takeaway for me is this. Quality sleep isn't a luxury. It's an investment in your health, your happiness, your life. It's not about being lazy. It's about giving your body and mind what they need to thrive.
I love that. All right, folks, we've covered a lot of ground. We've talked about why depth sleep is so important and armed you with some practical tips to improve your sleep. But hold on tight, because in part two, we're going to delve even deeper. We'll explore some more advanced techniques and even tackle those pesky sleep disorders that can steal those precious hours of rest. Stay tuned.
Welcome back, everyone. In part one, we really got into the why of deep sleep, all those amazing benefits that go way beyond just feeling rested.
Right. It's like a nightly reset for your body and mind, boosting everything from your immune system to your mood, even your brain power.
And we learned some great tips for creating that perfect sleep environment and building good sleep habits.
Laying the foundation for better sleep.
Exactly. But now I'm ready to level up. The articles we're looking at go beyond those basic tips, right? What other sleep secrets are hiding in here?
Oh yeah, there's more. In part two, we're getting into some more advanced strategies, techniques that can really fine-tune your sleep and boost what's called sleep efficiency. Sleep efficiency. Okay, that sounds a little technical. What does that even mean?
Well, think about it this way. It's not just about the total time you spend in bed. It's about how much of that time you're actually asleep.
Okay, so the quality of those hours, not just the quantity.
Exactly. And that's where sleep efficiency comes in. It's about making the most of that time, getting those deep sleep cycles, and minimizing those wasted moments of being awake.
Gotcha. So how do we actually improve sleep efficiency? Are we talking sleep hacking here? Give me the good stuff.
Well, one technique might surprise you. It's called sleep restriction.
Sleep restriction? Wait, doesn't that mean getting less sleep? I thought we were trying to get more.
I know, it sounds counterintuitive, but stick with me. It's about temporarily reducing the time you spend in bed to match how much you're actually sleeping.
So, like, if I'm in bed for 8 hours but only sleep for six.
You might try condensing that time to 6.5 hours, either by going to bed later or waking up earlier. It's about creating a mild sleep debt.
So you're kind of forcing your body to consolidate your sleep, making it more efficient.
Exactly. By building up that sleep drive, you're more likely to fall asleep faster and sleep more soundly. And as your sleep efficiency improves, you can slowly add back time in bed until you find that sweet spot where you're getting enough quality sleep.
It's like retraining your body to recognize when it's really time to sleep and then make the most of those hours. I like it. What other sleep efficiency hacks did you find?
One of the most effective, and it's backed by a ton of research, is something called cognitive behavioral therapy for insomnia, or CBTI.
CBT for sleep. I know CBT is used for things like anxiety and depression, but how does that apply to sleep problems?
It's actually a really powerful tool. CBTI focuses on the thoughts, feelings, and behaviors that contribute to insomnia. It's not just about changing your sleep habits. It's about addressing those underlying mental and emotional patterns that might be getting in the way of good sleep.
So it's like rewiring your brain for better sleep.
Exactly. CBTI usually involves a combination of things like sleep restriction, what we just talked about, plus stimulus control and relaxation training.
Okay, break those down for me. What's stimulus control?
Stimulus control is all about strengthening the association between your bed and sleep and weakening the association between your bed and anything else.
So no working, watching TV, scrolling on your phone in bed.
Exactly. The bed is for sleep only.
Makes sense. And what about relaxation training?
That's about learning techniques to calm your mind and body before sleep. Things like deep breathing exercises, progressive muscle relaxation, or guided imagery.
So it's all about shifting gears, going from that fight or flight mode to a more relaxed state that's conducive to sleep. Love it. Now, what about those dreaded middle-of-the-night awakenings? Any advice for minimizing those and getting back asleep quickly?
One technique that's often recommended is called stimulus control therapy. It sounds familiar, right?
Yeah, like what we just talked about with associating the bed with sleep only.
Exactly. So if you find yourself awake for more than 20 minutes, the best thing to do is actually get out of bed and do something relaxing until you feel sleepy again. Maybe you read a book, listen to some calming music, do some light stretches.
So instead of lying there getting frustrated, you're breaking that association between your bed and wakefulness. You're teaching your brain that the bed is for sleeping, not for tossing and turning.
Exactly. And as hard as it might be, try to resist checking the clock. Clock watching just makes you more anxious, and that makes it harder to fall back asleep.
Oh man, I'm so guilty of that. I start calculating how many hours of sleep I'm losing. It's a spiral.
I know, we've all been there.
Yeah.
But focusing on those numbers just adds to the stress. If you can, just turn the clock away or cover it up.
Out of sight, out of mind. Love it. But what about those worries that seem to pop up as soon as your head hits the pillow? Any tips for dealing with those pre-sleep worries that keep us up at night?
Definitely try worry journaling. Take some time earlier in the evening, maybe an hour or two before bed, to write down any worries, anxieties, to-do list items.
It's like a brain dump.
Exactly. Get it all out of your head and onto paper so it's not swirling around when you're trying to sleep.
I love that. It's like scheduling worry time so it doesn't bleed into sleep time. Speaking of things that can mess with sleep, let's talk about stress. It seems like stress and sleep have a pretty complicated relationship.
They absolutely do. Chronic stress can really throw your sleep patterns off. It can make it harder to fall asleep, lead to more frequent awakenings, and even reduce the amount of deep sleep you get.
So it's not just about winding down right before bed, it's about managing stress all day long to create a more sleep-friendly environment for yourself.
Exactly. And research actually shows that for some people, stress management techniques can be just as effective as sleep medication in improving sleep quality.
Wow, that's powerful. So what are some good ways to de-stress? I'm imagining exercise is at the top of the list.
Exercise is definitely key. It helps regulate your stress hormones, reduces anxiety, and promotes deeper, more restful sleep. But it's not the only way. Spending time in nature, practicing mindfulness, doing hobbies you enjoy, all great for stress management.
And don't forget social connections, hanging out with friends and family, laughing, sharing experiences.
Absolutely. Strong social connections can really buffer you against stress, which in turn can lead to better sleep.
So it really is all connected, right? Our physical health, our mental and emotional well-being, our relationships, and our sleep. It all plays a role.
Absolutely. It's all about taking a holistic approach to sleep. There's no one magic solution, but by incorporating these strategies, you're setting yourself up for success.
I feel so inspired to implement all of this and really prioritize my sleep. Any other pearls of wisdom before we move on to the final part of our deep dive?
I think one key takeaway here is that sleep isn't just about what happens in those few hours before bed. It's about the choices we make throughout the day that impact our ability to get those deep, restorative hours of sleep. It's about building those healthy habits and routines that support good sleep.
Well said. All right, everyone. We've covered so much ground in this episode, from the science behind deep sleep to practical tips and even some more advanced techniques for improving sleep quality. But we're not done yet. In part three, we're going to delve into the world of sleep disorders. We'll talk about some of the most common ones like insomnia, sleep apnea, and restless leg syndrome. We'll discuss potential causes, symptoms, and treatment options, so stay tuned. All right, sleep detectives, we're back for the final part of our deep dive. We've covered so much ground already, the benefits of deep sleep, all those tips and tricks for better sleep hygiene, even some more advanced strategies for boosting sleep quality.
It's been quite a journey.
It really has. But before we wrap things up, there's one more important area we need to talk about: sleep disorders.
Right, because while those good sleep habits can make a huge difference, sometimes sleep problems are a sign of something more serious.
Exactly. And that's where it's important to remember that these articles aren't a substitute for professional medical advice. If you're really struggling with sleep, it's always best to talk to a doctor.
Absolutely. Self-treating can be risky, and a healthcare professional can help you figure out what's going on and create a personalized treatment plan.
So let's shed some light on some of the most common sleep disorders out there. First up, insomnia. We've all had those nights where we just can't seem to fall asleep, right?
Oh, definitely. Insomnia is incredibly common. It's that difficulty falling asleep, staying asleep, or both. And it can really mess with your energy, your mood, your whole day.
For sure. What are some of the things that can cause insomnia?
Well, it can be a lot of things, actually.
Oh.
Stress, anxiety, underlying medical conditions, certain medications.
So it's not just one thing.
Right. And sometimes it's a combination of factors. Even poor sleep habits can contribute to insomnia.
So how do you know if it's just a few bad nights or if it's actually insomnia? What should we be looking out for?
Well, if you're consistently having trouble falling asleep, even when you're tired, or you wake up a lot during the night and can't get back to sleep, that's something to pay attention to.
Okay.
Also, waking up too early and not feeling rested, even after a full night's sleep, feeling tired and irritable during the day, having trouble concentrating. Those are all common signs of insomnia.
So it's about that ongoing pattern of sleep disruption that's really affecting your daily life. And what about CBTI, that cognitive behavioral therapy we talked about earlier? Could that help with insomnia?
CBTI is actually one of the most effective treatments for insomnia. It helps you identify and change those thoughts and behaviors that are keeping you from sleeping well. And for some people, medication might be helpful too, whether short-term or alongside therapy.
It's about finding what works for you.
Exactly.
Okay, let's move on to sleep apnea. I've heard that one can be pretty serious. What exactly is sleep apnea?
Sleep apnea is where your breathing repeatedly pauses during sleep. It often comes with loud snoring, and those pauses can last for several seconds, sometimes even minutes.
Wait, minutes? That sounds terrifying. Why does that happen?
The most common type is called obstructive sleep apnea, and it's when the muscles in the back of your throat relax during sleep and your airway narrows or even closes off completely.
So your body basically forgets to breathe while you're sleeping.
It's not that you forget, it's that the airway gets blocked.
Mm.
And it can happen a lot throughout the night, which disrupts your sleep and prevents your body from getting enough oxygen.
Wow, scary. What are some of the risk factors for sleep apnea?
Obesity is a big one because extra weight can put pressure on the airway. Age is another factor because those throat muscles naturally weaken over time. Smoking and drinking alcohol can also increase your risk.
And what happens if sleep apnea goes untreated?
It can have some serious consequences. Untreated sleep apnea has been linked to high blood pressure, heart disease, stroke, even depression.
Definitely not something to mess around with. So how do you treat sleep apnea?
The most common treatment is called CPAP therapy. It involves wearing a mask over your nose or mouth while you sleep.
Oh, I've seen those.
The mask delivers a steady flow of air to keep your airway open.
So it's like an air splint for your airway. Are there other options besides CPAP?
Yes. Depending on the severity and the cause, there are other options. Sometimes lifestyle changes like losing weight or quitting smoking can help. There are also oral appliances that can help reposition your jaw and tongue. And in some cases, surgery might be an option.
It's great that there are so many options for treating it now. All right. Any other sleep disorders we should cover?
Restless leg syndrome is another one that comes up often. It's that irresistible urge to move your legs, often with uncomfortable sensations like tingling or aching.
I've heard of that one. Sounds super frustrating. What causes it?
We don't always know the exact cause, but it can be linked to genetics, iron deficiency, pregnancy, or certain medical conditions.
Mm.
And it tends to be worse at night, making it harder to fall asleep or stay asleep.
Yeah, it sounds like more than just an annoyance. What can you do about restless leg syndrome?
Sometimes lifestyle changes can make a difference. Things like exercising regularly, cutting back on caffeine and alcohol, and making sure you're getting enough iron. There are also medications that can help manage the symptoms.
It's amazing how much research is being done on sleep and sleep disorders.
It really is a fascinating and rapidly evolving field. And it's giving people so much hope and real solutions for these problems that used to be really debilitating.
It's so true. Well, we've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive, from the science of deep sleep to tips for improving your sleep hygiene to even tackling those sleep disorders that can rob us of those precious hours of rest.
It's been a pleasure exploring all this with you.
Likewise. And for everyone listening, remember, quality sleep is a cornerstone of a healthy and happy life. It's not a luxury. It's essential. So create those sleep sanctuaries, build those good sleep habits, and don't hesitate to reach out to a healthcare professional if you need help. Sweet dreams, everyone.